Nicolet Bank is honored to support all who strive to make communities great. This program is brought to you from Wisconsin Eye's Margaret Farrow Studio.
Hello and welcome to Newsmakers. I'm your host, Lisa Pugh. Presidential candidates are making a big push for young voters in this election, particularly in states like Wisconsin with very narrow margins. Analysts say the youth vote alone could make the difference. Newsmakers is welcoming two young leaders from both parties here in Wisconsin. We have Matthew Lehner, who is chair of the College Democrats of Wisconsin, and Hilario De Leon, who is chair of the Milwaukee County Republican Party. Thank you to both of you for joining us.
Thank you for having us on.
So we're almost about 40 days out from the election. Seems so close, but yet so far. I'm wondering for both of you, and I'll start with you, Matthew, people who are working on get out the vote efforts for young people and others, what does a day look like for you right now?
Well, I think first of all, I am a normal college student, like anybody else. I work at McDonald's early mornings, and then I go to school. And then this is my volunteer work on the side. I don't do any of this for pay. This is all volunteer work because I believe in the cause of the Democratic Party, and I believe in the cause of making sure that we involve young people in a democracy. And so some of the things that we do as college Democrats, we do lots of tabling. We do outreach on social media. We also knock doors with our county parties and work with our state party stakeholders. And so, that's really what a typical day looks like. A lot of us are just normal college students who, believe in Kamala Harris and want her elected president, and believe in the cause of the Democratic Party and its, mission to bring, good things to young people and to deliver policy for young people.
Hilario, I know your days probably look a little bit different. You're not a college student. You're actually an employee of the Republican Party.
I was elected by my membership as the first Hispanic, Generation Z Republican chairman in one of the most important counties in the entire state. The road to the White House literally runs through Milwaukee County, thus making Wisconsin one of the single most important battleground states in the entire nation. And, my day isn't too far off from what Matthew does. A lot of times, running the county party, ensuring that our outreach on social media is being done, working and coordinating with volunteers on a daily basis out of our field headquarters and the few different offices that we have located around Milwaukee, talking to candidates, hearing exactly what help they need, what volunteers that we can get them, what areas that we can go help door knock, working and coordinating with the Wisconsin College Republicans, the College Republicans of America, the Young Republicans, and also a lot of times I spend my time out there tabling at a lot of big community events, State Fair, Juneteenth, Cinco de Mayo, Mexican Fiesta, a lot of community events that, where Republicans really haven't had a presence, we're showing up and we're making a difference and we're making that presence known.
Both of you and your interest and your activism in politics is kind of unique among your peers. Latest Marquette Law School poll shows that about half the number of young voters in Wisconsin are following politics when it's compared to other age groups. Would you say young people are disinterested in politics, or what would explain that?
I would say young people are facing a lot of challenges right now. And I think that makes them very pessimistic about our government. It makes them pessimistic about who's in charge right now. Young people are facing climate change and are wondering whether they are going to be able to have kids one day. Young people today are part of the school shooting generation, having to do, lockdown drills in school and having to worry about their safety in schools and just in public in general. Young people are worried about, how they are going to pay for things given the corporate-driven inflation and the wage stagnation that exists. So I think, there's many issues that young people face right now, and I think it's more just pessimism with what is going on. And I think, that is certainly what I'm trying to do, is to say that, the Democratic Party is offering a vision for young people and policy for young people that will deliver for them and make their lives better so that they will once again have faith in our system of government.
Hilario, Matthew brings up this pessimism and has been documented. The Harvard Youth Poll that comes out every spring, the biggest poll of youth, says that only 9% of young people think the country is headed in the right direction. That's down from 21% in 2020. What do you think is going on there?
Well, I think we have to look at the economic situation that our country is in right now. Gas prices are still high. Grocery prices are up. We see a lot of times that they're say that there's a lot of jobs out there that are hiring, but a lot of times people aren't getting that call back from those jobs. We also have people that are very much worried about, you know, again, how can they afford things? You know, Matthew did bring that up. Rent is high, so it's hard for them to go and live on their own. Energy costs are through the roof and continue to go up. And a lot of times when I'm out there in the community talking to young people, one of the major things that they're talking about, they're not talking about the climate crisis. They're talking about the threat of World War III and the fact that they might think that they're going to be drafted to go fight in a war that they feel has no meaning to them. And so that those are the concerns that people have. And I think we're going to see a lot more young people turn out and vote in this election cycle. I think it's going to be one of the deciding factors. We're starting to see, you know, a common trend, a disparagement amongst the gender gap between who is supporting what candidate. And I'm sure we'll talk about that down the road. But those are the issues that I'm hearing directly from young people when I talk to them.
You know, in recent elections, young voters have been a reliable part of the Democratic Party, but we have been seeing some shifts in young voters. For instance, in the Marquette Law School poll, which was conducted in August and early September, folks were asked, if the election were held today, who would you vote for? For young voters, 50% go to Vice President Harris, 37% for former President Trump. They're also the age group that has the largest undecided percentage, more than double that of any other age group. It shows up as 14%. That's double. Hilario, what those undecideds, have they not heard enough from the candidates? Why that group?
There's a mixture of a lot of things. A mixture of, you know, they're not claimed to one party. They might be not one of the major parties, I should say. They might be independents. They might be libertarians. They might be a few other, you know, in between factors. The other thing is that I think that there are a lot of people that are still undecided on who they're going to support. We're seeing a lot more, you know, of those independents and a lot of libertarians starting to look towards President Trump, given the policies that he's talking about, especially for those that are in the service industry. No tax on tips, no tax on overtime. Those in the older generation, you know, no tax on Social Security. You know, those are for seniors. Those are very important issues that people care about. A lot of the younger generations, they're very close with their grandparents, so they probably, you know, listen to a lot of the policies and politics that they talk about in their generation and how it affects them and then how it may affect future generations. So I think that's what we're starting to see. Social media is going to
become more engaged as we get closer to the election.
Well, I think people vote, you know, based on what affects them. There's a lot of times the not my backyard mentality kind of thought process that people have. If it's not happening to them, then they're less likely to be concerned about it. And I think that because of everything that's been going on with the economy, with issues with jobs, the worry about the world stage, even national issues, it's becoming more and more impactful on their lives.
Matthew, as we just showed, Harris leads in that poll over former President Trump. But Democrats are worried about her narrowing margin with young people. Democrats have had much larger margins over Republicans with young people in past decades. What do you think explains that?
Well, I think it just says that we have more work to do. And I think, you know, I think it's great that young people are, you know, taking an interest in this election. And I do agree with Hilario that I think we're going to see a record number of young people voting in this election. But I think it shows that our generation is genuinely curious about, you know, who to vote for and is doing their research. And I think that is a very good thing. And so what it tells me is that, you know, we just have more work to do, because I think the fact of the matter is, you know, a lot of the issues that young people face, we face in common. And the fact of the matter is, you know, the climate crisis is a big one. Safety in schools is a big issue. You know, figuring out how to pay rent and all of that, and trying to solve the corporate-driven inflation that we're seeing in the country. And so I just think that, you know, it shows us Democrats that we just have more work to do to make inroads and make sure that we are getting our message across. Because our message does winning with young people. As you said, Harris is leading amongst young people, because unlike Donald Trump and J.D. Vance, trans who constantly tear down members of the queer community, who tear down members of the trans community, who, you know, are living on a message of divisiveness and extremism. Kamala Harris is looking to bring forward a message of hope and
you
optimism.
You think she'll bring some of those young voters back before November?
Absolutely. And again, it's just about communicating the message, because our message wins with young people. We've seen it here in the state in the 2022 midterms, where specifically on my campus, we had record turnout. And in the 2023 Supreme Court race, you saw that Janet Protasiewicz actually got more votes than Tony Evers did in the student ward on campus and won 87% of the vote.
Hilary, I want to ask you about young men. Mm-hmm. I know that some of those polling numbers show that young men are moving to former President Trump, and that Democrats have lost significant ground with that particular segment of the young people population. What are you hearing from young men?
They feel undervalued and underappreciated by the Democrat Party. They feel that they're just not welcomed. They feel like that their voice is canceled out and that nobody's listening to them. And so they look at President Trump and the policies that he promotes. President Trump has created the party of the big tent within the Republican Party. We see that across the board, especially in polling. When it comes to Hispanics, ABC just came out with a poll. Young Hispanic men, too, are starting to look towards President Trump because of his policies that he's promoted under his administration and what he continues to promote in this campaign. 41% of likely Hispanic voters are supporting President Trump. That's impressive. And I think that we see that across, you know, that, you know, again, those policies, it's policies over personality. And it's, and if you look at President Trump's policies, there's something there for every single group, especially young people. There's a lot of opportunity.
Do you hear dissatisfaction with young men currently as you're talking on the campus?
Well, I think a poll's a poll. I mean, certainly not what I've seen. In fact, you know, when I was in the line at UW-Eau Claire, there were a lot of young men going with their, frankly, girlfriends going to vote. And, you know, I just want to say, you know, young men are welcome in the Democratic Party. And the Democratic Party will fight for young men and will deliver on the issues that young men face. Because I think a lot of the issues, yes, indeed, the issues that young men face, like Hilario and I, are very unique to our to ourselves. But, you know, the issues that young men face are the issues that a lot of us face. And so, you know, I, again, it just shows that we have more work to do. And I think this is the one thing at the Democratic Party is we work hard and we work to earn every single vote. And I think, you know, that's something we will continue to do as we move forward toward this election.
You mentioned this gender gap in contrast to what we've just been talking about. Young women are more likely now to identify as Democrat. There's a plus 26% and growing advantage for Democrats among young women. Analysts are calling this somewhat of a surge. Do you see this enthusiasm with young women now, Matthew?
Absolutely, 100%. And it all stems back from when the Supreme Court, frankly, when six right-wing nationalists took away 50 years of precedent in Roe versus Wade. And young women are pissed off, and they're going to continue to be pissed off. And young women are seeing that, you know, Donald Trump continues to brag about Roe versus Wade and the overturning of that 50 years of precedent. And so I think young women are taking notice of that and are noticing, too, again, in the history that could be made in electing Kamala Harris as the first woman president of this country.
Have Republicans done enough to reach out to young women, Hilario?
I believe so. And I want to make a correction. First of all, the original Supreme Court that put Roe v. Wade in place had no constitutional authority to do so. They are not elected. They are appointed. And so, by overturning Roe v. Wade, it has returned the power to the states, which allows the average citizen to make their voice heard. That's how a constitutional republic is supposed to work. That's what we are. We are a federal constitutional federal republic.
Would you agree and so, that that's an issue that might be impacting?
Well, I think
young
it is an issue,
decisions?
But I think people have to be educated on that process. I think one of the things that our country doesn't do a good job at is teaching basic civics. And so it allows there to be, you know, there's going to be pro-choice states and then there's going to be pro-life states. That just is how the debate's going to work. But it's not whether abortion should happen or not. That's not the debate. It's on when it should happen. And there
How should Republicans be talking to young women?
Well, I think they should have open forums and discuss and hear directly from them. I think that's the best way to approach it, because then it allows that debate on whether, you know, again, President Trump and many others within the Republican Party has really shifted, you know, more towards the middle, that we believe in we're pro-life, but we also believe in life of the mother and making sure that, you know, there are exceptions for rape and incest. And also President Trump has talked about countless times, and I'm very disappointed in the media not fact-checking Kamala Harris and the rest of the Democrat Party that continues to promote these lies that, you know, he doesn't stand up for the issue of IVF and other things like that. Again, it allows
the... Need more education.
Correct.
Generally. Let's talk about voter enthusiasm. We've also seen a pretty big shift in voter enthusiasm, also particularly among young people, since Vice President Harris was added to the ticket. Let's look at those numbers. When comparing June poll results in the Marquette Law School poll, before this was before President Biden stepped down, we're looking at comparing to August, there's nearly a 20-point increase in young people ages 18 to 29 who say they are now very or somewhat enthused about voting in November. Also, there's a corresponding decrease in those who say they are not very enthusiastic at all about the election. Matthew, do you attribute that shift just to adding Vice President Harris to the ticket?
Well, let me just respond briefly to what my what Hilario mentioned here. Whether the Supreme Court is elected or appointed, the fact of the matter is they struck down Roe versus Wade, which held a national precedent in regards to abortion.
The fact is they
struck it down, and we have a disagreement, obviously, on whether that's unconstitutional or not.
That's why we're here on the
but
show.
But the fact is, you know, whether Donald Trump or J.D. Vance will say they agree with abortions, with exceptions for the life of the mother and in cases of rape or incest, the fact of the matter is that some states have laws on the books, like Wisconsin, where there is no exceptions for rape and incest, and allowed for in one case, I believe it was in Indiana or Ohio, for a young woman to be raped and having to, you know, carry that pregnancy to term, and, you know, that it would be illegal to perform that abortion. So the fact of the matter is Donald Trump brags about that, and I'm glad to hear that, you know, the Republicans would do open forums with young women. I would love to see it, because I think, frankly, they would hear the same thing, that young women are pissed off about the overturning of Roe versus Wade, and that, you know, the Republicans...
That's why it's a state issue now. That's why it allows them to discuss it.
Let's talk about all the issues, including abortion, yeah, that young voters say that they are concerned about. Looking again at the National Harvard Youth Poll, along with the Marquette Law Poll, polls show young voters differ in key ways from older voters on priority issues. Voters ages 18 to 29 do agree with most Americans that the economy is the main issue. For young voters in Wisconsin, abortion policy, as we've been discussing, comes in second, with the Israel-Hamas war in a distant third, just slightly ahead of issues like immigration, health care, and ensuring fair elections. Similarly, foreign policy issues show up as the third most important issue in Harvard's national youth poll, but immigration policies are in second place. That poll gives young people more options to choose from, so that's why you're seeing lower percentages on that poll. I do want to start with the economy. Hilario, I'll start with you. What do you hear from young voters on how the economy is impacting their day-to-day lives?
Their lives were better under President Trump when it came to prices, when it came to grocery prices, when it came to just payment from jobs. I think that people are, you know, they say that there's a lot of jobs out there, which there are. A lot of them are bounce back jobs that came back from COVID. But they're not getting the call back, you know, from these employers. And I think it's important that these employers make an effort to reach out to people and say, hey, you know, we're going in a different direction. Sometimes that just is more of an encouragement than not hearing anything at all. People are very much worried about, again, the rise in rent, the rise in energy costs. Energy costs, again, have gone through the roof and seem to continue to go up. I'm afraid to see what this winter is going to look like if we have another four more years under this administration. And again, sometimes those are state issues.
So, are you hearing similar concerns about prices and rent from young Democrats?
Of course, but I think it's important to realize that we had one of the worst economic disasters in this country in regards to COVID, and we also have some of the worst corporate-driven inflation ever. I mean, you look at corporate profits, they are sky high while wages remain stagnant. The fact of the matter is that you've seen a lot of corporate price gouging out there. It's proven and it's out there. It's why I am telling young people that Kamala Harris wants to clamp down on corporate price gouging and has a plan to do just that. And I, of course, as a young person who works at McDonald's and doesn't make, a significant salary. I am, of course, concerned about rent and price control and prices and everything like that. But I think it's important for young people to understand that this is a lot. All of this is driven by corporate inflation and greedy CEOs, frankly, taking a bigger pay cut because their corporate profits are up. And I think that is a distinction we need to make to young people, and also that we went through one of the worst economic disasters since the Great Depression.
Moving on to that second most important poll in Wisconsin, young voters were the only age group to rank the Israel-Hamas war in the top three. Why do you think that is? What are you hearing on that issue?
These are nothing more than proxy wars that are, one, this is, I mean, one, it's sad that people are dying in any war. I mean, war is a terrible thing. Let's just say that, you know, clear out as loud as we can. I'm a very, you know, pro-peace kind of guy. The Republican Party has shifted from being a very pro-war party to being a very party of peace. We saw that under President Trump, that there were no new wars under President Trump. We finished up the war that was going on against ISIS, but now they're back under this administration, which is unfortunate. We're seeing that this is, you know, we continuously, this is what I keep hearing from people directly when out in the community. They are frustrated when they see Congress constantly sending millions and millions and millions of dollars overseas to fund what people view these proxy wars. This is a proxy war against Iran. Again, Israel should have the right to defend itself against terrorists. But at the end of the day, there are people who are dying on both sides that we as a country, as one of the leading world powers, have an obligation to sit down and try and be a negotiator between these countries. Same thing with the war in Ukraine and Russia. This is getting out of control. These are going to turn into a world war. We are very much on the verge of it when you have Russian and Chinese jets buzzing our airspace off the coast of Alaska, not one and only by themselves, but together now. That's very worrisome. They are young. They are concerned about that.
Why do you think young people rank this issue in the top three?
Because I think young people are sickened and appalled by what's going on over there. And I am proud that College Democrats Wisconsin called for a ceasefire very early on in this, because we understand that peace is important in that region. And of course, Israel has the right to defend itself and its citizens from Hamas rocket attacks and Hamas terrorism. But the fact of the matter is that response was extremely disproportionate. And I think young people are extremely concerned. And I think I applaud young people for their concern about losing innocent life in there. And again, it just underscores why it is important to continue to help Ukraine in this fight, because Donald Trump would let Russia walk into Ukraine with no problem. I mean, come on, folks. I mean, he says that he could solve this in a day. Really? I mean, it's just like this whole healthcare thing where he says he has a concept of a plan. So, you know, again, I would just say that, you know, Democrats have solutions to this. I'm proud that Kamala Harris has called for a ceasefire. And I know the administration is in a very difficult position trying to negotiate this and get all the parties on board. But, you know, this, I think, you know, again, underscores that Democrats have solutions and a policy-based approach, whereas Donald Trump just says things so he can get reelected.
Kamala Harris is the sitting vice president right now. She has enough power to help influence policy with President Biden and many others within the cabinet. She has that authority to do it now. Why it's not being done now, I have no idea, other than it's just politics. At the end of the day, world leaders are meeting with President Trump right now. We just met with another world leader the other day on trying to figure out these conflicts that are going on, because again, they recognize that there was no new wars under President Trump, and he understands the key to fixing these problems. And world leaders, they all have each other's phone numbers. Whenever a new world leader comes into power, especially within the West, they call one another. And so if President Trump is elected on November 5th as the next president, it is the president-elect, I guarantee that President Zelensky and Putin and many other world leaders will be calling him and talking to him and trying to hopefully figure out a solution to these problems.
So we've talked a great deal here about foreign policy. We touched on abortion and the economy. Are there any other issues that you're specifically hearing about from young people
crime.
That maybe aren't showing up in the polls? What would you say, Hilario?
Crime is a problem.
Safety.
As a matter of fact, just not too long ago, a few weeks ago, I was down on the south side of Milwaukee because there was an incident where a group of Bradley Tech students had assaulted and attacked two elderly gentlemen that were very local in the community. And so I had the opportunity to go down to the press conference and actually listen to them. There was not a single representative from the mayor's office, not a single representative from the county exec's office, only one county supervisor, only because it was his district. And after the press conference, which I don't even think he spoke at, he left. He didn't stay for the walk, and we walked and we talked with the family. There was young people that were amongst the crowd as well.
Matthew, any other issues young people are talking about that aren't showing up in the polls?
I think just overall the need to change the systems that are in place right now, because the systems are not working
for everybody.
Election systems and the way that things are run. I think young people are very interested in things like ranked choice voting, ensuring that we have more equal representation of all groups in Congress. I think young people are very concerned about changing the systems, because I think the systems that we have in place right now in regards to some of the voter ID requirements that we have in the state kind of hurt young people and put them at a very disadvantage when they go out and vote. So I think young people are very interested in opening up our democracy.
Another thing that's changed in this election is the use of social media and how campaigns are trying to reach particularly young people. In the polls, it marked that half of TikTok users under 30 say that they're using TikTok to keep up with politics and issues. How important do you think social media has been or will continue to be in reaching young
voters? Social media is going to be one of the most important keys to just any future election. So many young people are involved on it. Actually, majority of everyone's on it. We get our news from it. A lot of, I know WSI is involved on social media. I have a TikTok account. I have my own social media platforms that I do. Any major, corporation, company, sports team, political group, they all have social media. So it's going to be one of the key things that people are going to utilize.
Social media key to reaching young people in particular?
100%. And I think that is social media is one of the big reasons why Janet Protasiewicz did so well in the 2023 Supreme Court election amongst young people, because you had national figures talking about really the importance of taking back our Supreme Court from, again, a right-wing extremist majority that had consistently upheld gerrymandered maps and upheld the will of lobbyists in Madison. And social media really talked about the importance of that from national figures. And I think you're going to see that again in 2024 in how young people end up making their decision.
Tufts University Center for Information and Research on Civic Learning Engagement ranks states in terms of where young people are the most likely to shape the presidential election. And Wisconsin ranks number 2. Does that surprise you? Do you agree with that?
The road to the White House runs through Wisconsin, so no, it doesn't surprise me at all. This is the single most important battleground state aside from Arizona, and they're debating back and forth on whether it's going to be Pennsylvania or Georgia right now. It runs right through Wisconsin, and it's great to see, again, how important this state is.
How important do you think the young people vote is to, in your case, Vice President Harris winning Wisconsin?
It is a key factor, if not the key factor, to her victory. Because we know in 2020, Joe Biden won this state by just about 20,000 votes. And, that is about how many young people in this state. So literally, one campus could be the difference. And, turning out one campus to vote for the Democratic Party could be the difference in whether Kamala Harris takes this state or not, and having young people energized. And so, absolutely, the road runs through Wisconsin. And this is why I'm very glad that Kamala Harris is reaching out to young people, is involving young people, is listening to young people in regards to her running mate selection, in regards to her policy. And I think that it is super crucial in order to win over the hearts and minds of young people this November.
Well, I think that's maybe the one point that we can agree on here, is how important young people are in this presidential election. And I really want to thank both of you for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, Lisa. Thank
you. And thank you to the viewers of Newsmakers. Be sure to tune in again as we highlight the issues and sit down with the decision makers who make a difference for all of us.
Nicolet Bank is honored to support all who strive to make communities great. You have been watching a production of Wisconsin Eye, your unfiltered window into legislative deliberations and public policy programming, where our mission is to provide Wisconsinites an opportunity to access the legislative process and connect with conversations that inform our citizenry. Please consider supporting our mission, and thank you for watching. Wisconsin Eye, policy made public.